So good to see you today. Isn't it great to start the year worshiping the Lord?
Amen.
What a great way. Today, we're going to begin a study of the book of 1 Samuel. And the title of the message today is 2017, Miserable or Marvelous? There's a choice there. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. And just so you know, we haven't abandoned our study in 1 Corinthians. It's just that where we are as a church right now, we need to be over here for a little while. In a few months, we're going to go back and finish the book of 1 Corinthians. Okay? So, let's stand and let's examine the Word of God and seek to hear what God would say to us through His Word. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from this city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord, because you are God. And we thank you, Lord, for the year past, for your provision, for you carrying us when we could not move on, for you blessing us above and beyond what we could imagine. We look forward, Lord, to the days that lie ahead. And I pray, Lord, that 2017 will be the year that you return to rapture your church. I pray, Lord, that you would guide our steps this year, that until that day comes, that, Lord, we'll faithfully serve you, Help us to see your hand, your direction, and give us the courage to follow you in every aspect of our lives and in this church. Lord, we pray now that you will move among us, you knowing the needs of every life, you knowing the ones who are hurting, you know the ones who are suffering, you know those who need to be blessed. Lord, we lift this entire congregation before you and pray that you would move among us in a mighty way. Manifest your presence and answer our needs. I pray most of all, Lord, for those in this service who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day that they call upon you for salvation. Again, Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can you believe it? I mean, really, can you believe it? What happened to 2016? It flew by. Now we stand the first day of 2017, and the question is, will it be miserable or will it be marvelous? I vote for marvelous. How about you? I vote for marvelous. But you know, we will decide to a large extent what kind of year we have. We look at the story of Hannah here. And the first thing that we start with today is a question. What do you want? And I ask you this question. What do you want? If you'll notice in the story, we read about Hannah's misery. Now, Hannah was the wife of Elkanah, and Elkanah had two wives. One was Hannah, one was Peninnah, and Hannah was the favored wife. In our text, it said that he loved her, and he favored her by giving her each year at sacrifice time when they'd go up to worship. He'd give Hannah a double portion. I mean, it was obvious she was the one that he loved. Peninnah was just kind of the extra wife, right? But this favoritism had created a rival between Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah, viewing Hannah, she noticed really quickly that Hannah could not have children, even though she wanted children, tried to have children. Nothing. Year after year after year. So Peninnah, as she would look at Hannah, she began to torture her. And she used her lack of children as a tool of torture. As a matter of fact, verse 16 says that Peninnah provoked her severely. I can see it now. Every time Peninnah would meet Hannah, she'd look with a scowl and say, "Look, there's that woman. That woman that's childless. Look, there she is. Her husband may love her, but she's really nothing." And because of that provocation, verse 6 says she was miserable. I find it interesting that word miserable in the Hebrew language literally means to thunder or to sound like thunder. Have you ever known a woman to thunder? I'm not sure if that was the storm going on the inside or the storm that was coming from the inside spilling out to the outside to her husband Elkanah, you know. But whatever it was, she was absolutely in torment on the inside. Verse 10 describes her as having bitterness of soul and weeping and anguish. I mean, it was as deep as it could go. Intense anger, deep resentment. She was consumed by her misery. But you know what? The root of her misery was not that she didn't have children. The root of her misery was the harassment of her rival. Now, no doubt she wanted children, and there's nothing wrong with her desire to have children. It was honorable. But the torment had brought her to the point where this misery that she had no children had consumed her life. And I want you to consider her mistake at this point. You see, Hannah's mistake was she thought if she only had a child, it would fix everything. No doubt tired of being a second-class wife, a second-class lady. No doubt tired of being looked down upon in the community, because people would look at women who didn't have children and they would think, well, you must have done something. The Lord is not blessing you. That's just the way they thought in those days. Year after year, she would go to the temple and she'd see the glory of Peninnah's children and she would sit there with nothing. Year after year, Peninnah would throw it in her face. She would become more and more bitter. She just, to the point, if she just had a child, all her troubles would be gone. If she just had a child, people would look at her differently. If she just had a child, every problem in the world would go away. And I want to take a break here. What do you want in 2017? What do you want? I mean, what do you really, really want in 2017? 2017 is a book that hasn't been written. There may be many in this congregation today who are absolutely miserable, thinking if they only had, and you fill in the blank, everything would be okay. What do you want? Don't speak out loud. I'm talking, you know, on the inside. What do you want for 2017? We have the promise of God's Word. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Do you believe the Bible? Oh, come on. Do you believe the Word of God is the Word of God? Do you believe that God meant what He said? When He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Do you believe it works? What do you want? What do you need for 2017? Now you may say, oh, Brother Doug, I don't want anything. Well, maybe you need to set your sights a little higher, because if you're shooting for nothing, you'll surely hit it. Okay? Maybe you're here and you do have a desire for 2017. Maybe your desire is, I want a new job. A job with less stress. Can you imagine going to work and having absolutely no stress, that you walk in that workplace smiling and you walk out of that workplace smiling? Can you imagine such a job? Wouldn't that be cool? You know what would be even better? How about a new job with more money? Come on, give me an amen there. You know you want it. Oh, money would be great. Can you imagine? If you only had, what about a new car? Some of you may be driving around on that hundreds of thousands of mile car and you're thinking, I'm driving on borrowed time. If I only had a new car, things would be right. All would be well. New house. Can you imagine a house on the lake where you go out your back door, set up a lawn chair, throw out your fishing pole and just fish? Ooh, wouldn't that be cool? Come on. That'd be good stuff. What do you want? What do you want? Some may be more serious. You may want health. You know, some are dealing with health issues. And I get it, you know, health is something we take for granted until we don't have it anymore. And then we're reminded of what we can't do because of the health issues. But can you imagine? Physically, you could do whatever you wanted to do. All your worries, all your cares would be gone, right? Wrong. You see, we want a lot of things, but it brings us to the question, why do you want it? Not only what do you want, but why do you want it? And we're going to go here to Hannah's petition. In her misery, in her anguish, she goes before a holy God. And verse 15 says she pours out her heart before God. Verse 11 says in that prayer, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him to you. Wait a minute. This is just, wow. Somewhere she changed. Something inside her changed. Because no more is it about Peninnah, who is always in her face and throwing up things before her, and you're not a good wife, and look at all my children. No more is about that. It's just a simple prayer of, God, if you will give me a child, I'll give him back to you. What a prayer. I mean, have you what a prayer. Do you pray such prayers? Let me ask you a question. Why should God bless us? Or more specifically, why should God bless you in 2017? Why should God bless you financially? You say, Brother Doug, if I were only debt free, you know, I would just been climbing this mountain so long. If I were just debt free, why should God bless you financially? You say, Brother Doug, so I can be debt free. Is that it? Is that the best you've got? Why should God bless you with good health? Well, Brother Doug, I want to be able to enjoy life again, but is that it? Why should God bless you, period? You see, here's a cold, hard reality. And that is that much of the things we want it for ourselves. James chapter 4, verse 3, talking about that very thing, says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Why should God bless you? Why do you want it in 2017? What are you going to do with it? I want to tell you know what? I've discovered there are opportunities all around us. Opportunities to bless and to be a blessing. But I've also discovered if God doesn't empower you to be a blessing, you can't be one. You know what I'm saying? If God doesn't enable you, you can't do it. I'll give you an example. 6 months ago, 4 months ago, we began a building campaign. And I and my prayer is still 100 families who are willing to commit to $4,000 contribution. We're well on our way. I think our finances at this point is $355,000. Our goal is $500,000. So, we're roughly 70% there, okay? But let me ask you, there are a lot of you who got involved there, and there are some, I'm sure, who has given more. But if you didn't get on that giving opportunity, let me ask you a question. Why? Why? Oh, Brother Doug, I just couldn't afford it. And I can't afford it, okay? If that is your answer, I want to ask you another question. So when we started this giving program and you said, I can't do that. And now, looking back, are you better off now than you were 5 months ago when we started and you said, I can't afford to do that? Are you any better off? You know what I'm willing to go out on a limb here and say, you're no better off because you didn't get involved. Okay? And you want to know why you're no better off? Now listen, I'm not preaching this to drum up money. I'm not. All right? I promise you I'm not. I'm preaching this so you'll know how to be blessed. All right? But if you look back and my life is not working, if you look back at 2016 and you didn't get involved in the ministries of the church, maybe it wasn't giving, maybe it was another ministry, but you look at where you are and you realize, hey, this is not working. It's likely because what you're doing is the wrong recipe for success. Giving, for an example. For those who said, I can't afford it, and I ask you, are you any different now than you were then? Here's what you've got to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Can I get amen there? I grew up on a farm. And I'm not the most intelligent fella when it comes to farming. But there's one thing I know. If you do not plant something, you will not have a harvest. Okay? Same thing. Same thing. Why do you want it? Do you want it so that you can enjoy it and you can back up and say, look at me? I mean, there are a lot of opportunities in 2017. You know, you want, Brother Doug, I need a new car. Wouldn't you just look good in a brand new GMC pickup? Or a Yukon or a Cadillac or whatever it is you want. Camaro would be really cool, wouldn't it? Ford Mustang. But what are you going to do with it? Why do you want it? You see my point? Why should God bless us before we come to that point where we realize, God, I'm here to serve you. God, you've given me today to serve you. Lord, I look forward to 2017, and you have given me 2017 to honor and to glorify you. And you know what's really cool I've discovered? When I'm involved in the ministry work of the kingdom of God, it has a lasting impact on my life. You see? And when I give to the kingdom of God, you know, you want to know where the satisfaction comes from? The satisfaction comes from I can look back and say, hey, I was a part of something that's going to change the eternity of people. See, it's better. You can get the new cars. You can have the new house. But you know what? In a little while, it'll get old. It has no lasting effect. My challenge to you today is to come to that point for 2017. Yes, pray, Lord, bless me. Bless me. Lord, bless me so that I can bless you. Because you see, that's where Hannah got peace. And you read here in verse 18, it says, after she prayed that prayer, Lord, give me a child so I can give him to you. After she prayed that prayer, she went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. As she prayed that prayer, comfort flooded her heart. All the anger was gone. All the bitterness was gone. And nothing had changed. She still did not have a child at this point. Nothing's different. Do you know what was different? Hannah was different. Isn't it cool how that, boy, we can start a prayer so torn up and we can pour out our heart to God on our knees and we can get off our knees and we just know, hey, it's going to be better. It's better. God's got it. That's what happened to Hannah here. Her circumstances had not changed. I'm sure Peninnah would still try her, the same old stuff, the same attacks. But she walked away at peace. What do you want? Why do you want it? And what are you going to do with it? You see, you read the rest of this chapter and you discover that God did give her a child. And this child was born. His name was Samuel. Samuel meaning the name of God. Now she wasn't calling this child God. She was reflecting that she had called on the name of God and gotten this child. Okay? He was a result of her calling on the name of God. Okay? And she raises this child until he's weaned. And I don't know how old that was. I've heard speculation, but there's no way to tell. Some say he was 6, some say he was 8, some say he was 12. I don't know. I don't have a clue, okay? But I know he was still young. But here's what I do know. I know that Hannah took this baby, she raised him, and when the time came for her to fulfill her promise. She takes him back to the temple and she says, Lord, I'm that woman who asked you for this child. And Lord, you granted my petition. I have this child because you gave him to me. Do you realize everything you have comes from God? Do you realize every blessing that you have, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, whether it's your car, you just go down the list. Everything you have belongs to God. You have it because God gave it to you. Now I ask you again, what are you going to do with it? Time. You have time because God gives you time. I want to ask you, what are you going to do with it? I want to challenge you. Look at life a little differently in 2017. Quit living for what I want. Quit wanting things just so that I can enjoy them and start living the good life, which is, Lord, bless me so I can bless you. You see, Hannah came to that point. She said, God, I prayed for this child. You gave me this child. And Lord, I'm giving him back to you. In the King James it says lent. But don't misinterpret the meaning of that word. It means to give. She didn't put him on loan. She gave him back to God. Okay? And so she said, God, here he is. And you know, as we look at the end of this chapter, verse 27 and 28, I want to read to you. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he should be lent to the Lord. So they worship there. She prayed. She asked God for a blessing. God gave her the blessing. And you know what? She was faithful to give that blessing back to God. You see, oftentimes we fall off the wagon. Lord, if you'll give me 2017, keep me in good health, I'm going to teach that class. Then halfway through is, I don't want to do this anymore. Lord, if you will bless me financially, I'm going to bless you by giving to you. And God blesses and they don't really need it. Lord, if you bless me. Here's my question in closing. Can God trust you with 2017? What do you want? Why do you want it? What are you going to do with it? Can God trust you in 2017? What are you going to do this year that's going to be different than all the rest of the years? You know, looking back, you want to know what I did last year? Not nearly enough for the Lord. I didn't take advantage of some opportunities that I should have. Some of them I was completely oblivious to. Have you ever done that? You look back and you think, boy, I should have done something back there. But you didn't. What are you going to do with 2017? The only thing will count is what you do for God. I challenge you. Ask God for the blessings. Ask Him for what you want. But make sure what you want, you can give back to God. You want to start 2017 off right? Number one, you got to be a child of God. Okay? You've got to belong to Jesus Christ. I didn't ask you, it's not about, are you a good person? Are you saved? Do you know where you're going? If not, you don't know what 2017 holds. Right? You don't. You don't know how much of 2017 you have. You better walk out of here knowing where you're going. Okay? Are you a child of God? Jesus gave His life, and He says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? Okay? If you are saved, what are you doing with the life that God has given? Are you faithful? Are you giving? Are you ministering? Are you using what God has set before you to the fullest extent? Have you asked God, Lord, give to me so I can give to you? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for the new year that is upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worship. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you have given. You are so good to us. And sometimes we forget you bless us so that we can be a blessing. Lord, help us to be a blessing. Empower us, Lord, to magnify you. Whether it be in our money, whether it be in our time, whatever, Lord, you give. Empower us to be faithful stewards. Open our eyes to see your opportunities. Bless us with courage to take advantage of the opportunities. In Jesus' name.